You're listening to the Monica Cade podcast, where we bring you stories and interviews that support you to find your voice and express yourself authentically. We welcome you into the private lives of some of the best thought leaders, creative minds, and entrepreneurs around. Hear them share actionable ways that you can become more aware and purposeful in creating your best life. You can find the show notes on our website, monicacade.com, or follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Monica Cade. But for now, let's dive into the show. Welcome to episode 64. I'm your host, Monica Cade. Today we're chatting with Rosie Mansfield, who is a nutritionist, and she started her career with the drive to be the most realistic nutritionist in the universe. Sounds pretty cool to me. And you may have also seen her on Channel 10's Good Chef, Bad Chef TV show. But aside from helping people with their nutrition, she has a great love for the ocean, surfing and paddleboarding. And she also has a new book, Food Hacker, coming out in July 2018. So let's find out more about her book, her nutrition and everything else that she does. Hello, Rosie. Thanks for joining me today.
No problem, Monica. Thank you.
Pleasure. So I guess for not all of our listeners, they might not be familiar with your work. So I just thought that maybe you could take us back a little bit and give us insight into why you became a nutritionist.
Sure, no problem. So I was actually a personal trainer for many years, and I was getting a little bit confused as to why my clients weren't getting the results. And it was before this big nutrition boom happened. And I just personally made the link as well between exercise and nutrition. And I kind of from there was like, well, actually, I think it might be one of the more important things. So ended up going that way. But there was already a seed there because I had actually healed myself when I was 14 by visiting a nutritionist after having a horrible case of irritable bowel syndrome for over 2 years. So, yeah, kind of two ways of getting me in there. It was kind of there was a seed in there, and then I got reminded of it when I was personal training.
Mm-hmm. And so what made you want to begin personal training to start with?
Well, I think when you get unwell when you're a teenager, for me it was just when you've had illness and then it gets, then you get health again. It's that feeling when you've had a cold and then you leave and you're like, right, I am going to be so healthy after this. It was kind of like I felt like I had a second chance, and I just felt like, gosh, what, isn't that wonderful? I was so grateful for the nutritionist for helping me get better that I was like, I want that. I want to help people like that. So, yeah, it was really my destiny was set from that moment, really, of getting better.
And what was your household health perspective growing up like?
Well, I was quite blessed. So my mum was a social worker working in palliative care. So we always kind of knew health. Like, she kind of chatted. I never understood even what palliative meant for a while. So, yeah, she was working with the dying. So we always got a sense of kind of lust for life and silliness, which I think must have come from my mum. And then I was blessed to have a stepmother who in Germany, she's German, in Germany had studied Reiki, and I kind of had a, I mean, they called it alternative therapies back then, which a lot of people don't like anymore, but that's what it was called, is just when the medical system exhausted you, you go to people like my stepmom who do Reiki healing and things like that. So I was always very open to it, but I didn't realize it was any different until, got a bit older and realized, oh, not everybody got raised that way, with health being front and forecenter.
I can relate because I grew up in a similar household where alternative medicine was forefront of our lives as well. What's your perspective on that? Because you said, you know, initially they turn to normal medicine to heal themselves and they don't necessarily look at maybe the underlying issues associated with their illness. What's your perspective on where people should turn?
Well, I think that's what's the wonderful thing about what's happening now. And, you know, talk about the consciousness of people, and not just people that are in the industry, but there is a consciousness of the everyday person that's out there that is, you know, right in the middle of the city and has never even known or looked into complementary therapy, just starting to realize that there's a bit of a link between the mind and the body. And yeah, I think it's really exciting, because what's also happening is people are realizing that medical isn't the only way. And there is some incredible places that are integrative medicine, where they're basically, some of the doctors are studying other things on the side, so they're complementary therapy on the side. So there's this, it's slowly but surely coming together where medical is not the only way. And most people understand that. I'm sure if you talk to your grandma, they might be like, the doctor said this, I'm going to do this. But there is a consciousness happening that is slipping down the generations, which is wonderful.
It's so exciting. It's so exciting to observe it too.
Yeah.
And so in that regards, what's your food philosophy then?
My food philosophy. So I've been a vegetarian since I was 3 years old, and that was purely, I just left it on the plate. Obviously, I don't have any memories really from then, but Mum just said, you just used to eat everything and the meat was left, and this happened so many times. It was like, right, Rosie's just vegetarian, and they luckily let me just do that. And yes, so I've been vegetarian ever since. I've never craved it, and I really did just listen to my body and it didn't want it. So I don't, that's my personal philosophy, but I believe that becoming 80% kind of flexitarian, which is a term being used, but you know, 80% vegetarian. So predominantly you are having a kind of plant-based diet, and then 20% of the time meat is a bit of a treat. Kind of trying to adjust that, having meat every single day, that meat actually should be just the same as sugar. You know, it should be every so often, and monitored a little bit more, especially the quality of it as well. So yeah, my philosophy, I don't have one like lots and lots of little ones. I have kind of just one big one, which is kind of try and go 80% vegetarian, and no gluten-free, no none of that sort of stuff. I just, it's literally 80% vegetarian, and 80% of the time try and be as healthy as possible, and 20% of the time eat absolutely whatever you feel like under control. Okay, so make sure that you don't indulge too much. So it's a real balance. You know, I am a very relaxed and realistic nutritionist, because what I want to do is represent the everyday person that's out there. The everyday person doesn't have a cupboard full of superfoods. So I'm going to find those things that you see in the supermarkets, not necessarily the health food stores, the places that people actually shop. And I go, right, what are we going to do with this? As simple as that, really.
When it comes to food, then, would you say that there is a one size that fits all?
No, absolutely not. But there can be habits that we have that do fit all. And it's proven in, you know, I'm really excited about the blue zones, which are the places in the world where people are living the longest. And it's, you know, it's no coincidence. They're all got the same habits. You know, they're all eating predominantly plant-based. They all kind of drink a little bit of red wine. They have a really nice social life. So there are habits that I think are one size fits all for our communities that we live in. But we are all very individual. We really are. We have very individual, beautiful bodies. And they have to be kind of diets do need to be customized to a point in that way, but I do think that there is a lot of things that we can always overcome. You know, once an intolerant, not always an intolerant, there's things that we can most definitely overcome. So we shouldn't be too quick to pigeonhole ourselves into a demographic either within nutrition.
I like that you say that, because I think a lot of the time we can, especially now when, you know, there is an abundance of this, oh, I'm gluten-free this, or I'm this, or I'm this. And we easily categorize ourselves. And I like that you said that we don't have to stay that way, so that maybe we can heal our bodies so they can potentially have something that maybe right now we're not allowed to have. I guess for some of the listeners, maybe they're a bit frustrated and they're a bit overwhelmed with a lot of the literature that's out there and all the different diets and things like that available to them. What would you recommend as a good place to start?
Well, the simplest thing is to use the nutritionist's main tool, which is a food diary. So if you can do not only a food diary, but food and mood diary, which mood is so important. If we're trying to make this brain gut link, we need to not only be writing our food down, but our mood as well. And food includes everything that we're drinking too. So that's something that always isn't included. So that would be the simplest thing. So what it's doing is it's taking it away from reading facts on a computer, going, oh, that kind of sounds like me. Why don't we just start writing everything down, get really more conscious to what's going on, and then kind of see if any symptoms occur. And this is something that we should do once a month, because our bodies do change. Our bodies are fascinating. My mind gets blown at the idea of just homeostasis, that our body knows exactly where it needs to be, and it constantly regulates itself and wants to get back down there. It's the same with food. If we're unwell, it wants to get better. It does. We just need to feed it that way. So I do believe that we don't have to be gluten-free forever or anything like that. Obviously, allergies are a little bit different, but there are different things that we can do on by, you know, reflooring the gut and all sorts, that illness doesn't have to be forever. It really doesn't. It's I wouldn't be a nutritionist if I knew I couldn't get people better either. So yeah, it just takes a bit of commitment, and it takes a consciousness is what it is. And I'm going to keep using that word, because it's just, we very much unconsciously eat, we unconsciously watch Netflix. you know, we unconsciously take in adverts. It's like, we need to just get extremely conscious with food, especially if we're not very well, we want to get better with it. It's just, what are we putting in our mouth? And make it real simple. Okay, well, how did I feel after I ate it?
I totally agree with you. I think the most profound thing that we can learn about ourselves is to really, when we sit down to have a meal, to really, you know, pay attention to how it makes us feel, how we enjoy the taste and everything. Because I know in my own journey, and then also in talking with many people, is that once you really become more conscious around what you're eating and then also how it tastes, is a lot of the time you might find that you don't actually enjoy that particular food, but you have because it's just been mindless as you've been eating it prior. And I think that's such an easy step we can all take. You don't even have to go out and buy anything. You just have to, you know, just become present to what you're putting on your plate and what you're putting in your mouth, and change can happen immediately.
100% agree. It's really that simple. It's just, what am I eating? What goal do I want? Okay, what have I been eating? Well, let's adjust. Let's experiment and have the facts and figures down on a piece of paper and just be, you know, you've got to commit to that. You've got to most definitely commit. But the terrible thing is, and the thing that I really want to do is I want to be known as a preventative nutritionist, because I think what we can do is we kind of wait for our bodies to break before we get that motivation to actually stay committed to a health goal. But what we really need to do is become conscious about what we're eating before we get unwell, which is, you know, it is tricky, because as soon as we feel good, we just want to go off and we want to go surfing or we want to go walking or whatever. If we could try and have preventative nutrition and eat fantastically, because our body has told us exactly what we want to eat, I mean, then we're just winning. For the rest of our lives, we will be winning.
Now, you talked a bit about commitment. What about people that feel like they've tried and it's just too hard? What would you say if that's kind of the mentality that they have at the moment?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one. And there's some of the tough clients to work with, you know, the ones that they do want change, but they also, there's something, there's a barrier there where they don't want change. And there's two ways of going about it. I mean, I constantly refer to psychologists as well, just to like work out that barrier. It's not always my job to work out what that barrier is. I will try. But, you know, working alongside a psychologist is a wonderful way to work out why you're not quite ready to get better. But the other thing as well is just like, things do take time. The body does take time to, you know, forget things, and holds on to illness too. It does hold on to illness. So it's like, we need to just, yeah, a lot of releasing things and things like that. But yeah, it's a really tough one. You just got to really want it, and you've just got to prioritize it, really. That's the most important thing.
So true. I think the comment you made about time as well, that's awesome, because so often in our day and age, even like the media portrays everything, it's like we want this instant gratification and that we want the results right now. But I think for our listeners, you know, if you are experiencing some sort of health challenge, just realize that didn't just come on suddenly, you know. So it's like, if we're going to fix and heal our bodies, then that's going to take time too. And I think we need to be more compassionate with ourselves too. And just, you know, if it doesn't work the first time, well, then, you know, maybe keep going, but don't give up.
Yeah, exactly. But you've got to see, go, you'll visualize it. You know, if I wanted to go to the Olympics in 4 years' time, I'd need to start training today, and I would not be ready to compete tomorrow. It's exactly the same. It's like, you can't be like, oh, I want this. Well, I'm going to do this for one day. I'm not feeling the effects yet. And that's what we do, is we constantly analyze how I'm feeling now. And it's like, hey, look, you've only started a few days. It's being kind to yourself and kind to your body and being like, these things take time. And yeah, it's just sticking with it.
Yeah, awesome. Now, you also have a book coming out in July, Food Hacker. What made you want to write this?
Oh, so many things. I just felt actually like it was needed to be written. There is a lot. This space is, you know, quite crowded, and there is a lot of people doing what I'm doing. But the thing is that I always kind of get the people that are not quite sure how to do things, and they don't have a great base knowledge. And I was like, they really need to be taken care of, because I just do think that's the majority of people, the people that are just trying hard and just want to try and fit in a bit of good nutrition. So it's a very achievable book. So Food Hacker is basically for the everyday person that is really busy, and like work probably does come first, and they can very easily just get Deliveroo or Uber Eats, and it's about just kind of just being like, hey, I'm gonna for five more, if you can just find me 5 more minutes, we can actually just cook something from home. So yeah, it's for the everyday person, food hacker, and yeah, it's made for people who live in small spaces, or, you know, it's just the people that haven't been taken care of yet, the single people, the people, you know, when you're single and you don't feel like you should cook yourself a beautiful dinner, of course you should, like, that's more easy than cook yourself a beautiful dinner. So it's taking care of all everybody who hasn't been covered, basically, and it's extremely achievable.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. And in writing the book, is there any particular lesson that you learnt about yourself?
In writing the book, well, my patience isn't great either. I want everything done. but I think, you know, that's part of my personality and my, you know, zest for life. So sitting me down long enough to write a book was quite challenging. I'm very proud of it, and I know that it needs to come out. I guess everything in my life has come to this point for me to write it, because I just know that the back of my head, I never forget what it's like to have health taken away from you. So, yeah, that's my motivation to do it. And I get reminded every day the great things when you have a book in front of you for why you did it.
Yeah, amazing. You also meditate. So tell me more about what role meditation plays in your life.
Oh, it's massive. It's massive. So like I said, you know, I've always been very high energy, but sometimes too much and a lot in the chest and wanting to do everything at one, you know, in one sitting. And finding meditation was incredible, and I found it about, I think, almost 5-6 years ago now, and just slowing down enough to, you know, there was so much productivity I wanted to do, and the moment I slowed down, I just found that I could actually be really productive, and it's been wonderful for every aspect of my life. It really is. It's just, and it's one of those things where I just, whenever, you know, something shit might hit the fan, I go, oh yeah, but I've got that wonderful tool that I've learned, and it's just, oh, it's just wonderful. It's just knowing that it's like having a friend that you know will always be there. It's wonderful. One of the greatest finds of my life.
So you mentioned that, you know, you're a bit high energy and that you've always wanted to do lots of things. So when you first started meditating, because I know lots of people also will struggle with this, in your first experience of meditation, how did you find it? Did you struggle with it? Or because a lot of people say, oh, no, I can't do that because it just, I can't still my mind. What was your experience?
Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same. But I started with 5 minutes and went up from there. And then I always needed guided meditation. And now, you know, sometimes guided doesn't make me go as deep as I possibly can. So it's just, again, it's training yourself. It's training your brain, retraining your brain. And you have good days and bad days, and being kind to yourself. You know, if you sit down to try and have a meditation one day and it just doesn't work, try again tomorrow. It's, you know, I've stopped any negative self-talk now about even trying to, you know, do great in meditation, because then it's just exactly what you're trying to get away from, is doing great in everything in your life. Just meditation's there to just be very kind to yourself. Yeah, just start small.
Beautifully said. And for our listeners, how would you encourage them to get in tune with their bodies if they've been absent for quite a few years?
Well, meditation is one amazing thing, but also not only just seeing a nutritionist as well, like I think reaching out and seeing, you know, actually what other things are out there, you know, maybe I need a massage.
Yeah.
So many people haven't had a massage for like 10 years. I'm like, what?
I think I'm one of them.
Just like, you know, not even a massage. Maybe you need to go see a chiropractor, or maybe you just need to go and have a chat with a psychologist. Maybe you just need to have a chat with your friend and just really check in with your body. And you can do that in meditation as well. You can have an intentional meditation where you go, I'm actually just going to go through my body right now. And, you know, if you've been doing it a while, you might know that as chakra meditation. But if you just literally don't worry about all the funky words and things like that, just go through your body and be like, what's feeling like it's got a little more energy? What needs to be cleaned up a little bit? And then work out what area of the body it is, and then pick the correct practitioner to clean that one up.
Okay. Now, before we finish off our interview, I've got a few signature questions for you.
All right.
Tell me, what moves you?
What moves me? Oh, I'm a massive documentary buff. So, but what recently really moved me is I watched The Plastic Ocean, and I am absolutely devastated. And if I wasn't a nutritionist, I would be doing everything right now to eradicate single-use plastic.
Yeah, I've watched that documentary myself and I was just blown away at, I just can't believe what's happening, and the poor animals as well. I was just, killed me. Okay, tell me, are you afraid of anything?
Yes, very much so. I'm afraid of fear itself. I think anxiety is an awful thing, something I've struggled with my whole life, hence trying to find meditation and other things to help me through it. But I fear fear itself because I think it can cripple us at times, and which is awful because we actually just have one life.
Mm. And tell me, if you weren't in your current career, what would you like to attempt?
I'd be picking plastic up. Most definitely. I would be doing something towards extending our Earth's life, most definitely.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, and I felt like I had to throw this one in because you are a nutritionist. Tell me what your signature meal is.
Oh, well, I think it's going to surprise you. It's going to surprise you, though, that I love pizza. So if I can try and make my healthiest version of pizza, mm-hmm. then, you know, with a little pita and making your own little passata, it would have to be that. I do love comfort food, and if I can make comfort food healthy, so yeah, I'd have to say pizza.
Yeah, awesome, amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. I'm sure our listeners got lots of tips in there for their health and nutrition.
Total pleasure.